Chapter 4. No one was kinder to me at that time than Rose Waterford. She combined a masculine intelligence with a feminine perversity, and the novels she wrote were original and disconcerting. It was at her house one day that I met Charles Strickland's wife. Miss Waterford was giving a tea party, and her small room was more than usually full. Everyone seemed to be talking, and I, sitting in silence, felt awkward, but I was too shy to break into any of the groups that seemed absorbed in their own affairs. Miss Waterford was a good hostess, and seeing my embarrassment, came up to me. "I want you to talk to Mrs. Strickland," she said. "She's raving about your books." "What does she do?" I asked. I was conscious of my ignorance, and if Mrs. Strickland was a well-known writer, I thought it as well to ascertain the fact before I spoke to her. Rose Waterford cast down her eyes demurely to give greater effect to her reply. "She gives luncheon parties. You've only got to roar a little, and she'll ask you." Rose Waterford was a cynic. She looked upon life as an opportunity for writing novels, and the public as her raw material. Now and then she invited members of it to her house, if they showed an appreciation of her talent, and entertained with proper lavishness. She held their weakness for lions in good-humoured contempt, but played to them her part of the distinguished woman of letters with decorum. I was led up to Mrs. Strickland, and for 10 minutes we talked together. I noticed nothing about her except that she had a pleasant voice. She had a flat in Westminster, overlooking the unfinished cathedral, and because we lived in the same neighbourhood, we felt friendly disposed to one another. The army and navy stores are a bond of union between all who dwell between the river and St. James's Park. Mrs. Strickland asked me for my address, and a few days later I received an invitation to luncheon.